Well, we're going back over this morning, and we've been doing a teaching called, I tied it to, the covenant of blessing. And this came from the Lord dealing with me as I started off this thing. Was I was running one day, and when I'm run, I meditate on scripture when I run. And I'm just thinking, I was meditating on things, and I talked to the Lord about stuff. But he had a different discussion, really, in what I was meditating on and thinking about. And he began to speak to me about Abraham, and he put some things into me, and scripture started to come to me concerning Abraham, and then revelations concerning those scriptures came, and I started really seeing things from a different light about Abraham. And so I went over and started reading and studying in this area, and as I did, God started opening up a lot of things. One of the things that I want you to see is we're going to teach. This week the Lord dealt with me about Abraham, and really Abraham covers a long period of life, of his life. And so we need to understand, when you look at him and him starting off where he was at, revelation that he had, and it's one of the things I talked about, we as a Christian, you can't measure him against our knowledge that we have. You can't measure him. God didn't deal with him in that way. Things that we thought, that I've heard ministers say many times, oh, he did this wrong or he did that wrong. They're doing more wrong than he ever thought about doing. Because of the idea, we don't measure him in that. What we look at is what the Bible tells us that God did with the man, how he used the man. Your success is not to find out what was wrong with somebody, what's right about it, what can I do, what can I learn to copy to do that so I get blessed. And see, somebody, it's like, people, these ministers in finding fault with Jacob. God never says in his word or finds fault with Jacob. Never. Only preachers do that. And you should never do that. If God didn't say anything or rebuke him or something, I ain't got no business saying anything about it. And see, people get over and they do things and they miss the whole point. I'll tell you, Jacob's one of my champions. This guy, he was downright after God. Amen. Do you ever think about Jacob? Jacob became rich and super blessed, and he didn't have any of his daddy's inheritance. He did it following God himself. He didn't take any of his daddy's inheritance along with him. He came back a rich man. Come back, has all kind of flocks and herds and all kind of stuff. This guy, he did it following God. He didn't need somebody else's inheritance. He didn't have to have his daddy's. Walls he had was he had the covenant, and he's walking in the light of the covenant. And see, that's with you. Your success is in walking in the light of the covenant. So we're going to find out about covenant and find out walking in light. We see a man here, Abraham, walking in the light of a covenant God is making with him. And this covenant gets extended more and more and built more and more. There's one thing this week the Lord showed me about building. He said to me, if you look at Abraham, I was building a man. A man that followed me. It's sort of like building a house. Parts of it were put up at a time until when he was finished. This man fulfilled the will of God. And that's what God said he wants to do with every one of his believers. He's trying to build us. You don't start off built. You don't start there. God has a place of your completion, and he's trying to build you to get you there to that place that he can complete in you his perfect will. We might do things at his will along the way, but he's trying to lead us to a place where he can bring us to complete fulfillment of what he wants. This is what he's doing. He did it through Abraham, and he'll do it through us. And it's over time, the years of walking with him. I found myself, the years of walking with God in Revelation has just changed. I'm a different building than I started off. I'm surely different than that. Because of what? God was building over time. God never expected I would fulfill his perfect will when I started off. Never expected it. And see, we get the idea, we're trying to, many times, and we're going to look at this, we'll look at this today. God, for some reason, he operates this way, and I remember when I started off, I sort of didn't like it, because God would always show me the end. And I would think, don't show me the end. I'm having trouble, and that's out there. But the whole thing of it is, he sets us in there in a goal. And the whole thing of it is, he wants us to believe that he can take us there. You know, we're singing a song, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In other words, God never expects me to be able to accomplish that without him. It requires his anointing. So I have to learn to walk in his anointing, in his grace, in his ability to take me that place he wants me to go.
Amen.
That's what we do. He never expects you to be able to get there. You can't.
Amen.
It requires faith and the grace of God for him to take you there. And what it? He'll teach you and show you what to do to get there. He's not going to stumble you up along the way. He's not trying to mess you up. He's not going to make you sick to teach you something. He's not going to do something. He's not trying to cause disaster in your life. We have the devil for that. He's the one, who kills, steals, and destroys. God wants us to overcome. You're living in a fallen earth. This place is falling apart and you ain't fixing it and nobody else is fixing it. It's decaying. It's like your body. It's like everything going on the natural. It's decaying. And you know what? You better learn how to walk by faith by the time while you're here, because tomorrow is going to be more decayed than today. Amen. Faith is what keeps us going. It's what holds it for us.
Amen.
But the earth is on a decay. People are on a decay without Christ and not walking in the knowledge. You know, just like Mike's hearing, you know, Christians talking about, they're talking foolishness. You know, well, yeah, he did some good things. What is that? What Bible did he ever read? No, he went. You know, he could be a Christian, but he went to a religious church, taught dumb things, and he's no help to somebody who definitely needs help. These things are happening. See, we need to be. We need to have ourselves in a place where, you know, we're a benefit. This is why I want to grow. You want to grow for other people.
Amen.
You know, it's just like starting off. You know, you're going to have a family. You know, you get married. You want to grow some so your marriage works decent. You know, you want to grow some so if you have children, your children grow up well. See, if you don't really grow up spiritually, don't expect much out of your kids. They're going to follow after you, and if you ain't much spiritually, they'll be not much spiritually. That's the way it is. That's the way it happens. You know? And so, God's putting up a building, and, you know, the more the building gets working good and letting God develop it, the more God can work through you and do in fulfilling His will. Now, everybody has different things that God's, maybe their end result will be. And this is one thing, see, you have to walk out. I don't believe God hasn't given people visions. Many times people see stuff and they get a sense of something, and that's just too much, you know. So they just throw it down, go off and do something else. You know, we're following God and I'm just trying to get by. When really they have a vision of what God wants them to do. You know, when I first got saved, the night I got saved, I knew I was called to the ministry. And you know, I thought about that many times as I went along. Oh God, you know, because you try in the natural to think about it. How am I going to arrive there? How am I going to get this? How am I going? And you start going there and you have to learn and grow up and say, hey man, he's going to have to make this thing work. I don't know how it does.
Yeah.
So what I had learned to do was just submit myself and say, you know what? He'll open doors for me. He'll set what to do. What I got to do is follow after him, search, look after him, look into the Word of God, learn to know him. If I learn to know him, I can hear from him. If I don't know him, you know people say about I have a hard time hearing for God. It's because you don't know him. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying that's why.
Amen. Preach.
You're not used to it. You know, and the more you get in the Word, I found the more I got in the Word, the more I got, it was easier for me to be able to hear what He's speaking to me and what He's saying
Amen.
To do. So it's growing up. Whether people like it, nobody grows up overnight. It takes time. You know, I'm just amazed sometimes that the years now I'm born again, but I mean, it's taken a lot of time to get where I'm at, and I'm thinking, dear Lord. Sometimes I think, well, did I get far at all or what?
Mm-hmm.
But you go along because there's so much to understand. The more you learn about God, He gets bigger.
Amen.
And it's like, oh, man. One thing, He gets more wonderful. We're talking about Abraham, and actually we're still in the point still calling him Abram. The word Abram, the name Abram means, could be used two different ways. High father or chief father. I often thought about that because to name him that, He must with his father, you know, he became what his dad named him. He became the head. He became the head. He's the chief or the head, really, the Bible. We talk about, when we talk about Israel from the standpoint of the head, the father of faith. And so, God, you know, which I believe God inspired, and it's really important. You know, we don't think much about it, names, but the Lord dealt with me with my name, how I became what my name was. And see, my name is Edward. Now, Edward's a royal name, and it means it's a protector. That's the way I am with the Word of God. I'm a protector. This is what I am. I stand. I uphold that. And I'm royalty.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's why, you know, I want you to think about it. We like, you know, nice ringing sounding names, but it's important concerning, because why? It's something you say or hear said all the time. See, God names people, and we have the Bible. In the Bible, God named people, and He named them for a purpose. They became what their names were. See, and we do that. I mean, and think about that. Don't get that in your thoughts about that. Something that's said all the time. Something we speak. And so, this is a powerful thing. Now, last time we talked about Abraham, we talked about Melchizedek, and we went into the things. We can't go in there today, but we looked at this, Melchizedek, and we really, I think, from Scripture and proved it well last week. We're talking because it calls him a man. He was a man. Well, people say they think it was Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Well, it was. Then Jesus already became a man one time. So him becoming a man the next time really wasn't much. Why didn't he redeem somebody the last trip out? But we looked at him as a man, and we looked at why the terminology was used that, from the standpoint he didn't have father or mother. That was a term used of the priesthood. When Paul wrote in the Hebrews about that, he wrote about the fact that to be a high priest, you had to have, number one, you had to be an offspring of Levi, your genealogy, and the mother had to be an offspring of Levi, or you couldn't be a high priest. In fact, being in the priest's office, you couldn't be married outside of what Israel was or anything like that. You had to have, the wife had to be one from there. Most of them all married within the Levitical priesthood and that stuff. And the reason he did, so it was genealogy. And we found out, so their ministry was, we showed one thing, and we went and showed dealing with Samuel and how Samuel had died. But when he came up, when Saul wanted to talk to him, he came up, he says, they saw the man with the mantle come up. Samuel, in other words, Samuel had the prophet's mantle after death. I said, there's a real revelation there that the church ought to get a hold of concerning callings on your life. Anointings on your life are eternal. They're not something that comes and goes. It's just like him. He died, but he still had the mantle, that mantle on. And see, this is one thing. Melchizedek, his ministry is eternal. You are eternally a priest. Do you know that? Eternally. That isn't something here just in here. You are eternally, because Jesus is a high priest and you're in the priesthood with Jesus Christ. It is eternal. Even though you physically die, you're still eternally in the priesthood. And so that's what he's talking about. Melchizedek was appointed by God. He wasn't born into it. See, whoever was born into to Levi became a priest just because they were born in out of Levi. It wasn't because they were any good, a good person or anything like that. It was genealogy. Well, Melchizedek wasn't like that. Melchizedek was a man appointed by God. And you and I got saved. We're appointed by God. Hallelujah. We have anointing of God. So, really what Mike was talking about this morning is operating in that priesthood. Getting between man and God. We represent men before God. What's what we want to do? We're trying to reach people. And that's part of our ministry. Some people say, I don't know what my ministry is. Well, you got a priesthood ministry. You represent mankind before God. That's what you're called to do. We're all called to do that. And so we represent, and so we're standing in that place. That's part of the priesthood. reaching out to people. Hallelujah. See, we walk in our kingship under our authority, but also as priests. Hallelujah. So, number one, learn to love the unlovely. That's who needs represented. It's the ones that are unlovely. You know, it's easy to love the ones that are nice. It's not, but you know, you got to come to the point. I mean, I look at people and it's like, you know, especially like praying, like during the times of COVID and was going on, and I'd pray for the government, I'd pray for, and God really put Biden on my heart. And I mean, I just kept thinking about him lost, and his mess of his family and the mess of things. I thought, going off into eternity. You know, what he does here is not nothing to what's coming if it's not changed. I mean, you can't have any glee in it. You can't have, I mean, him dying can't be any kind of glee. It's like, oh my God, what this man is stepping off into. And so, the position we stand in. And let me just say this, and the Lord reminded me, you know, to me, hell's a very real place. An experience I had when I was first born again. In fact, it was after I got born again. It was our first Christmas, Wanda and I. It was Christmas Eve. And we had a neighbor guy who I had witnessed to some. And he was sort of had a bit of, I mean, mental problems. But it wasn't like he was crazy or anything like that. But lived next door. He had a girlfriend and that kind of stuff. He was very nice to Wanda and I and that stuff. And we were, you know, with him, when we were sinners, we lived beside him, got saved, but we always got along well with him and things. And his name was Bob, and Bob was, his problems and his thinking, you just couldn't sort of get across to him about the gospel. And he wasn't a thing he wanted to hear. But on Christmas Eve, he had a girlfriend, and she stopped over at our house, and because she came over to stop over at Bob's, and Christmas Eve, and she said she couldn't get a hold of Bob. She said, "Bob, I'm knocking on the door and stuff, calling nothing, and there's nothing in that stuff." You know, that wasn't cell phone days; they were, it was before cell phones, and we had the things you had to hold at your ear and kind of things you push button or dialed or whatever. But anyhow, so but. She came over and asked about it, and so I was at home, and Wanda was home, and so Wanda and I were going to go out with her to check with the neighbors and stuff, and we had the kids were home, so I stayed at home, and I was home. But I'll never forget this. I'm standing in the living room, and I'm just standing there in the living room, and I'm thinking about this thing with Bob, and it just bothered me with this thing with Bob. And they said they couldn't find him. You know, normally if Bob was somewhere, but his car was out and that kind of stuff. And just in my heart, something just grabbed me about this. And I just stopped and I said, "Lord, where's Bob?" And just as clear inside my spirit rose up, "Bob's in hell." And when he said that, I heard Bob's voice just cry out a wailing cry. And I knew it was Bob's voice. I mean, when I heard that, it just, I mean, it stunned me. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, I just froze right there. And then all of a sudden, I knew where Bob was. I knew he was in the house dead. I knew he killed himself. I knew it. I just knew it. And so I went out and I got Wanda and them, and we went in and found the basement way was open in the house and unlocked. We went up and found him. But hell's a real place, folks. We need to take this stuff seriously.
Amen. Preach.
People are going there. Hallelujah. But we're looking at a covenant. You and I are in such a wonderful position. You're born again. You're a child of God. Your destiny is secured. Amen. Even being stupid, our destiny is secured. I'm serious. People don't realize, you know, there's people out here, you know, is like Mike said this morning, you wonder which ones are saved or which one not. You know what, I'm just going to tell you, there's a bunch of people they're going to make to heaven. When they find out, they're going to be just stunned. Because, you know, how did I get here? It's like one minister made a statement. He said three things about getting to heaven. He said, when you go to heaven, he said, number one, you might be surprised who's there. And then the other hand, you're surprised who's not there. And then next thing, you're surprised you're there. But you understand there, you know, God's not trying to keep people out. You know, people get saved and turn around and live dumb lives. Dumb lives. I mean, don't walk right. But yet, they're saved, they're faith in Christ, and they end up in heaven. And they walk around, and they're really no spiritual good to anybody on the earth. No spiritual good. You don't make it to heaven because of your works. Because you do a bunch of good things. It's called a good God. And no matter how much good I do and how much I obey God, I don't get to go to heaven more because I get to go to heaven because of faith in Christ Jesus, and that's it. That's the bottom line on it. So, we want to get ourselves in that. As we look here with Abraham, we're going to look at this. God is building this man, and God's working in him, and God's laying a foundation, and I want you to see this. This covenant, remember the earth. This is, the man comes along, this is after the great flood has gone. There's over 400 years have passed since the flood, and God is establishing a covenant, and this covenant has everything to what God is able to do in the earth with mankind, and Satan has no right to say anything about it. Because I've thought about this. How come Satan didn't take over like crazy like he did the first time? Well, there's a reason for this. And Satan didn't see this coming. Satan didn't see... You know, God did a lot where, see, Satan... God always allowed Satan to think he was winning. Always allowed him to. Why? Shall I tell you, one of your great problems are in life where you're going to mess up the most is when you think you're a real champion. When you think, man, I'm really doing good. We'll probably be picking you up off the ground. That's it. He always lets Satan. Why? He's a big head. He doesn't realize. He's Satan. You realize you're dealing with a being who has a huge ego. Number one, he thought he could take God's place. How stupid. He thought he could take God's place. But also, he is naive in many ways. He is easy, just as he finds people gullible. He is gullible. The fact that he thought he could take over God, he was really stupid. He didn't realize what he was doing. And this is what he does. Whenever he feels, or demons feel like they're doing something, they got it. They don't realize all the mistakes they make that allow God to come in and do things. God, I've often seen him like this. He seems like, you know, they say, you give a person enough rope, they'll hang themselves. And God does it all the time with demonic powers. And we think they're doing things, and we don't realize God's given them enough rope to hang themselves. Shall I tell you what? You know, the church is like a roller coaster. It goes up, has great moves of God, and then it just off and on. That. But you know what? God always makes a comeback. God always makes a comeback. And this is the whole thing. The devil always thinks he's ahead, but God makes a comeback. And so we want to live in this. God was working in this man, and as we've seen so far, what God is doing in this man, he's teaching him to trust him. It's like I found out. Understand about this. Be logical about yourself concerning faith. Many things where you've gotten blessed, or God helped you, or you got an answer to prayer, many times was not because of your great faith. It was because you operated in the faith that you had, and it wasn't near as much as you thought it was. But God responded to you. Why? Teaching you to trust Him more and more. Because by doing that, it's just like a child. If you get a child, you're teaching a child to do their ABCs, and you know, you're telling them to write them, and you know, boy, you look how they scribble and scratch it across there. We cheer them on, don't we? We don't say, look at that sloppy thing that you put down there. What is that? No, we treat them like they're doing great. Why? Because we lead them on to do more. We lead them on, and that's what God does. See, I learned this. Because as I grew up, I looked back and I thought, oh my God. If it would have been, I would have had been really in faith about that, I'd have never got nothing. But I operated as much as I understood, and God did 90% of the rest. I mean, that's what it was. I did my 10%. Well, you know, the next time I went out, I did 20%. So you do that. That's what he's leading us on. And this is what he's doing with this man. Because he's going to require something, some great things of this man. And he treats this man like he's done great things then. He treats him in that manner. And this man is not born again, but becomes the father of our faith. So you can learn a lot about things about faith concerning this man. Now we're going to chapter 15. We finished out in 14. We're going to go over and start in that. But here in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, now this is after the Melchizedek and things, and Abraham, you know, came back after the battle and all those things took place. It said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, so he's having a vision. He says, do not be afraid, Abram. He said, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Oh, we could stop there and camp at that place. This is really important because Abraham, all he's done, Abraham has come out. We found out Abraham was a blessed man. He already, he had richness, but God's made him richer, made him more powerful, is making his name great. God's doing all this stuff God said he would do. He's doing all these things. He's doing them, but he stops saying, hey, that ain't nothing. I'm your reward. I'm going to tell you what, if you know God, that's the most important thing. I'm not talking, I'm going to tell you what, because knowing Him, He is the great. You're going to heaven because of knowing Him. You're going to heaven because of believing. You have an eternity set because of knowing Him. The richness and blessing of all is great, is Him. He is your reward. Get into that thing. So He tells it, look, I'm your reward. All this that I'm happening, all this stuff that's going on in here, it's happening because of His reward. This is God's working. This is what God's doing. You know, no matter what success you have, it's God's working and doing. Amen. See, always keep yourself over in that. Always give God the glory.
Amen.
Always give God the glory. Because you go along, you think, man, I've really arrived. No, any knowledge that I've gained, I didn't get it. I got revelation and it came from the Holy Spirit. See, God gave me my knowing in the Word. I got from God.
Amen.
I didn't get it because I figured it out. Believe me, I sit and read things and that stuff so-called theologians write. And it's the study of men. And it's like, dear God, the ideas people come up with, the thoughts that man comes up with, and the church is full of them. And people go down and read these things and turn around and preach them in all kinds of churches, even the word churches. They look at some theologian. No, get a revelation from heaven. Number one, tell people what God's revealed to you. Take the word. Give them what God's revealed to you. That's life to you. Hallelujah. And God will bring it through you to them and bless them with it. Hallelujah. So thank God other people knew, but I want to tell you what. It has to become your revelation and your knowledge. You're going to have to find it out. Just can't take it from others. He goes on here, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. So then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And he said, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Now understand this. This is the first time that God has told him this. Remember this. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If God just spoke this to him, this is the first time he can have faith that God will bring a child through him. See, people look back and they add all the stuff we know today, and they try to measure. You can't measure him according to that. This is the first time that he hears this. This is the first time. See, you couldn't have faith from the first time you heard. You couldn't get born again if you hadn't heard. See, God brought it. This is the first time this guy heard. But this is where faith comes by hearing. We find out this thing's going to change him. This starts to change. This is what God's doing. Remember, God's revealing the Word to you. Every time He reveals something, the Word, He's bringing change to you. You need to understand that. You need to cooperate with that. To realize how important it is that God would give you a revelation. Many times God give people revelation and they don't pay any attention. They will live and die and have had 4,000 revelations and paid none attention to half of them. The revelations came. Remember that God went to the whole trouble to reveal Himself to bring your faith to a higher level. That's what it is. He gives you a revelation so your faith can go higher. You can operate on a higher level of faith. You can't believe what has not been revealed to you. You can't believe it. It's what's revealed to you. See, many times people do this, you know, especially as young Christians, and I used to do this. I'll tell you, when I was a young Christian, I did this. Somebody would say something. It was a revelation to them, but it wasn't to me. But I'd try to do what they did. It wouldn't work. And it wasn't because the word don't work. It wasn't a revelation to me. But when it became a revelation to me, it worked. So you're going to find this sometimes. Things are said are true, but you've got to turn around and got to make it a revelation to you. You've got to see it and let God reveal and bring light to you on those things. Hallelujah. Well, it says, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. Now listen to what he said. Now, God couldn't do that to you today unless he probably took you up in the atmosphere way above. You know, at that time, I mean, you need to understand, it's just like the earth today. When I was a kid, you know, I was born and raised out toward the area they call Lawn and Colebrook area and that stuff. And I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, you'd walk outside in a clear summer night. You could see the Milky Way across the sky just as bright. You didn't need telescopes. You could walk, you could see. Today it's totally different. Today, if he told you to count stars, I'm going to have 15 descendants, I guess. You can go outside on a night now, on a clear night, and you could count the stars of what you can see with your eye. You can count them. So we know he was seeing a whole lot different. What he was seeing. Because later on he tells him that his descendants are going to be like the sands of the sea. So there must have been a lot of stars out there. And so, but he told him, this is going to be your descendants. So you go out there and he tells him to look up. In other words, your descendants, what's going to come out of you. And we're going to find this out as we go along with this teaching. In the earth, there are so many descendants of Abraham, far more. We always think of the Jews. I'm sorry. There's far more than that. There's far more than Ishmael's group. He had five other sons. They are under Abraham and they came out of him. There are people that are out of Abraham. This earth is full of them. They have gone into every society and every place. Now you and I, accepting Christ, we became what, and the scripture says as we go on and read in these things and as we study, there's two groups of people out of Abraham. They're the stars and they're the sands of the seas. There's the heavenly, which the church is, and there's the natural, which is the sand of the seas. That's the natural Jew without Christ. And he told them, you're going to have descendants like the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And he was telling them, there's two different groups. They're going to come out of you. The stars of heaven, the heavenly, that's what the church is. We're the heavenly. We're the spiritual. We're the true Jew. The other ones are genealogy Jewish. But understand this. This is a good thing you'll find as we go along. God showed me some things and I just thought, man, I never saw, nobody ever showed me that before. And he showed me, he was setting a pattern. In other words, those people in the earth, he has an opportunity because of covenant to be able to reach in and do things because of the seed in covenant. And so you need to understand this about yourself, about the seed that you are born again and you're being able to reach in to people because of seed and change things. I won't right now go into a bunch of that. But see, we need to understand, and this is why God's revealing in this. I think God's going to reveal himself many different ways in this end time, that we're going to see him and his greatness and his plan, that he's absolutely marvelous in his thought. What he is setting the stage for here and what he's doing through Abraham is changing everything in the earth and what God can do. And so we go on. Well, it says this then in verse 6, And he, which is Abram, believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So in other words, because he believed, God accounted Abraham as being righteous. Now I want to read to you from Romans, the fourth chapter. As we go on and teach, we're going to be using Romans some here, but we're going to these out of here because it speaks concerning with Abraham, the scripture. This says, in Romans, the fourth chapter, and in verse 3, makes this statement. It says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." You need to understand this. Righteousness can only come by one way, and faith. That's through faith. We're dealing with God. Now men have righteousness. In the earth, religion always has righteousness, which is by works. Now, let me say this. There are righteous works you can do. They're right works, but they do not make you righteous. You're just doing. You know, a sinner can do righteous works, but don't make him righteous. There are righteous works. Righteous just means right. What's right? Concerning you as a believer, and you need to get this in yourself, your faith. God says you're right. Before him, you're right. See, you need to get that because, see, if you don't understand that your righteousness is by faith, you'll always be weak in faith. Yeah, because you'll always trying to respond to God by faith and not really believing that I'm righteous. I'm never trying to become righteous. I was made righteous by faith. I was made that way. You were. You were made that way. You're righteous. Therefore, doing righteous works should not be some great hard thing to that is. See, you're going to live up to what you believe you are. If you believe you're unworthy and, well, I'm just going to, I'm this and I'm that. See, we've had all this stuff pumped into us, you know, over time. You know, living in this world, the dirt of this world just gets on you. You know, the world always, you know, will set standards and things that you can't meet. And somebody that feels they're a little better than you, they'll put a standard over you that you, they're sure you can't reach, but they made it. So they can look down on you. That's living in this world. You know, religion does that all the time. I went in churches and people are like that. You know? And they don't realize how religious they are. They think by their performance is how, you know, they're right before God. Well, it wasn't a performance. I can't ever be right. God appreciates if I have good performance. I can get reward for performing well, but I'm going to tell you what, I can't get more righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How can you get more righteous than God? So see yourself that you are righteous. That's what you are. You were born that way, born of the Spirit. God views you as righteous. If you're not righteous, you couldn't go to heaven because only the righteous can go to heaven. Now, if works, it says, we read, is about wages. So in other words, even all that Abraham did, that he performed obeying God, he still was not righteous till he had faith. Well, we just read it. God called him righteous because he believed God. He didn't get him righteous. Oh, you did this, you left and went over and came over here. No, he didn't. That's where, if he became righteous that way, that's payment. That's not faith. See, you got to understand these things. If you don't, it hampers your faith. It keeps you. Because you're a performer instead of a Christian. You know, the word hypocrite that we use, the word hypocrite really means as an actor. Somebody who plays a part. So performers were called hypocrites because they were performing a part that they weren't. But they were performing some. And so we would be, lots of Christians are, well, they don't realize, they're actors. They aren't really living a life and having a good, they're actors. We're not actors.
Amen.
We're not hypocrites. See, learning to live it. And I'm going to tell you, it takes time to learn this life. It takes time to learn to live this thing. But we need to, you're going to be able to live it. The only way is by faith. Because I'm not going to have, you don't always have a perfect performance. I don't do too well sometimes. Sometimes my performance is not so good, and so the pay ain't so well. So, but we need to understand this. We're living a life by faith. And you know, we don't hit it. God does not view perfection by performance. It's by faith. I'm perfect before Him on the basis of my faith, not my doing. My doing's never perfect. I never do perfectly down to the T what God says. Nobody's perfect. People who say that, nobody's perfect. Yet the church is trying to be perfect. How can the Bible talks about perfection? It's faith. My faith in God makes me perfect in His sight. Strangest thing in the world. See, this is hard to believe when you live in a performance American society and a performance American church. See, our motivation of what we do is based in love. It's not accomplishment. We don't climb the ladder of success. Christians don't climb the ladder of success. Why? You don't decide who's going to be on the top of what. God picks people and puts them in their positions. We don't pick them. I'm going to be an apostle, so I'm going to go to school and learn to be an apostle, and I'm going to be an apostle. No, you're not. God didn't appoint you to it. You'll never be that. We're not trying to climb a ladder of success. We just want to grow up. I just want to grow up a little bit, you know. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. We just want to grow up so I don't have to look in the mirror and say, who's that fool looking out at me? You know? You've never done that? You're full of pride if you didn't. I've wondered often who is that fool looking. Thank God for grace. I can look and say, you know that idiot's righteous. Because the devil will come and tell you what a low down dirty thing and how you mess and that stuff. Invite him over to the mirror. Say, you know that idiot in there. You know he's perfect. God thinks so. Yeah, he's perfect. He's righteous. See, that idiot's as righteous as God is. How about you, Lucifer? How you doing? It's amazing how he gets silent. Certain discussions he don't like to have. Demons don't like those things. So, glory to God. So your faith counted you as righteous. Now just think, this is put in here. So in other words, the foundations of our covenant are laid out right here in this thing in Abraham, because this is our covenant. Our covenant is found in this. We've attained the promise of God through faith. We're not doing it by works. Thank God we're not under the law, folks. I've sat down and I've read and studied the law, and I just don't know how those priests remembered all that stuff they had to do. I would have definitely had five guys following me, reading things off and telling me what I was supposed to be doing. I mean, they didn't have any laptops or any phones or anything to notate things and pull them out. How do you do this offering? Now there's 450 different offerings, and now if we do this one, it's like, man, what are we doing? Thank God we don't have that. Hallelujah. You know, aren't you glad? I mean, most of us, I mean, me in life, I'd have been stoned. That's it. So would you. So, thank God. So, you know, thank God we're not under the law. You know, it's, wow, be a tough spot to be in. Glory to God. But God is gracious. So, we see this is going on. There's one thing that the Lord brought me over to. You know, there's actually, up until this time, there's only two people in the Bible that are called righteous, specifically said. And one is Abram here, and the other one was Noah. Now, and so Noah was. And I want you to understand this, because I'm talking about you begin to understand these things. The Bible in Genesis 6:9, I will read this to you there. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. He said, Noah was just, a just man. He said, in his generation, Noah walked with God. Now that word just there is the same word used as righteousness that we read in Hebrew, which was read righteous concerning Abram. It's the same word. It says just, but it's he's righteous. So Noah was righteous. In other words, it says, now he said perfect. Now that word perfect, what it is, deals with integrity. In other words, this man had integrity, truth, and he was without blemish. In other words, you need to, how was he truth? He's walking in the light that he has. See, you understand this. You and I are perfections by faith, walking in the light of what we got. You can't walk in the light of what you don't know. You know, you can't. Now, we might see somebody else who knows more. You know, this is why, you know, and I've talked about this many times, of dealing with spiritual growth. We get a child naturally, many times, trying to do what the parent does and can't do it. But they're trying to do it. And you got to watch, because a kid can get down feeling really inferior about something's wrong with me because I can't do what they're doing. And you need to understand about your babyhood Christianity. Christians many times are a lot bigger babies than they realize they are. You got to realize the place of maturity that you're in. Understand yourself. Understand that you haven't arrived. You know, I know about this, and I'm telling you, because when I was a young Christian, I was like, see, we go through stages. I was that little infant crawling around trying to do, listen to people teach stuff, trying to do what the big boys did. And I couldn't do it. And I'd feel bad about myself. You know, I need to do better. No, I wasn't going to do better. I'm a kid. You know, I'm still a rug rat. I'm still down here crawling around in the dust of the earth, you know me, down here, and I'm doing the best, and God's blessing my life. But I'm turning around, and in some ways you hurt yourself because you're measuring yourself against somebody or something else, but the Bible says don't do that. You don't measure yourself against other people. You got to understand where you're at. Now, the worst stage to get into is not being a baby. It's being a know-it-all adolescent. Oh, that's it. I'm going to tell you what. That is the worst stage. Because they know more than everybody. These Christians, they get in an adolescent stage, and they know more than everybody does, you know. They don't listen to any elders. The elder, I know. Just like, you know, the kids. Oh, my parents don't understand. They don't know. They understand that you're an idiot. They understand it well. They know that you don't have much going on between your ears at all. Thank God my mom and dad ignored me and my smarts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And kindly got some things across to me. I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest spot. That's one of the hardest spots. I watched this in Christianity. The big heads among the adolescents. They know enough to be dangerous. They know enough about a gun to shoot themselves with it. You know? And they do that. But that's part of growing up. And you have to learn, you know what happens? You learn some things the hard way. Now, it wasn't intended that way. It just happened you chose to do it by not listening. And I tell you, I did. So, you know, don't think here, you know. But see, you got to be. If you don't measure yourself, you don't understand you. See, most people never measure themselves. They're always measuring somebody else. They know what's wrong with you. And they got 20 more problems than you got. But they can't see them. Why? They're an adolescent. I just got people thinking, my God, I remember going through that. Oh, I don't want to go through that again. I'll go through some other stuff later on. It's all part of growing up. So get yourself. Don't think. Don't worry about it. You got to grow up. And you're going to stumble in these areas, and you're going to do them. But God is gracious and kind. I am always amazed how gracious and kind He was in my adolescent time as a Christian. My God, I'm amazed. I'll tell you what. That phenomenal things God manifested through me. Phenomenal things during this time period. I had a real hunger for God. I wanted after God. But today I look back and thought, my God, I knew so little. Because today I don't think I know much, so I know it was a little. It was little. But God blessed. You know, He's not killing the adolescents. He's helping us. It's all about growing up. It's part of what we go through.
Amen.
Part of what we go through, you know? So, you know, just think about me. And you go, you send the kids to school and stuff, and you have, you know, you got the kids, you know, that are in the junior high and high school, and man, they're putting up with all these adolescents. They got all these know-it-alls. Then they go to college, and they become the biggest know-it-alls. And then they turn around and get out and have to get into real life, and it's like, oh, I guess life ain't the same way, huh? Gee, I just, you got to work? Somebody isn't paying the bills? I thought. Say, I borrowed $100,000 to go to college. I can hardly wait to pay that off. For an education, I'm not the average person won't even operate in the degree that they get. That's not what they're going to do in life. But you're going to pay for it a long time if you borrow. Oh, it's like buying a used car at a new car price. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go on here and look at some things here concerning Abraham. And we're back, going back to Genesis, to the 15th chapter again. We're going to look at something here. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, we're going to start at verse 7 here. Genesis 15 and verse 7 says, "Then he said to him," this is God speaking, "I am the Lord who bought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." So here you see God saying, man says, God called Abraham out of Haran, but he didn't. He tells us here. God had already spoken to him when he was down in Ur of the Chaldeans and brought him. The movement up from there to Haran was because of God's calling on him. How much time went between that? Well, we don't know exactly how much time. One of the things is Abraham was wise. He went to Haran. I probably assumed this. God told him to go to Haran, move up to there. He's telling him he's going to take him to a land. But he moved him up there because he didn't move till God told him to. A good, smart thing. You may have a vision, but that don't mean you go do that. You wait till God tells you. God may have steps in there to do. He'll show you something here. That doesn't mean go jump, go do that. God may have a plan. You know, you don't have to rush to do everything. We know in our society, it's everything is we want done right away, and we quick do this and that. I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, many Christians mess things up and make it it can't be repaired. They get out and get so far ahead in doing things that God wants them to do that they mess things up so bad it can't be fixed. So, you know, we're not rushing to do things. If there's a rush to do things, God will let you know if there's something you have to do right now. You know, if God tells you to do a certain thing has to do with your life, it's a good thing to go do it. So he called himself the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he said, "Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" He said, he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. He says, "Now when the sun went down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, horror fell and dread darkness fell upon him." It says, then he said to Abraham, this is God speaking, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge afterwards. They shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." He says, "But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled." Now we'll stop there quickly. We have here, God tells him concerning a thing of a sacrifice. Now God tells him to prepare the sacrifice, but he don't sacrifice it. He just gets the sacrifice ready. He's not sacrificing it. We'll find out why. But, so he goes down here. We find out, God tells him, God, now in this, God's going to establish something here concerning a covenant, but God immediately shows the future. It's very interesting about this. When the meetings we had, I was just down in Dayton, Randall Greer talked about this as being a prophet and operating in that ministry. But he said about this, and this happens many times with people. I had many things I would go along and God would show me way down the road ahead of things. Would do this. It is interesting because God is showing Abraham here, right here at this time. He's going to make a covenant, and he's showing about, the first thing he does is show them what's ahead in the future. Going about his descendants, what's going to happen. You know, down here. They're going to be down there 400 years. This is going to happen. Well, there's going to be a period of time before this 400 years ever starts. And they end up down there. They end up in Egypt and coming out. Actually, they came out, it was like 435 years when they came out Egypt. But, so God gives him and tells him these things. Then God told him about Satan. Now you're going to die, go home in peace. In other words, he knows this ahead of time. From the period of time to his offspring, he'll be leave the earth. They're going to end up down there. It's going to be a long time before they get the land. His offsprings get the land. Long time. But his offspring are going to be given the land. They're going to be giving that. Now God shows them that. See, we think God made him a promise and said, your descendants are going to get that land. How would you think right away? Yeah, well, hey, let's get ready. Get down there and let's buy up some land down here and build the houses and let's get this thing going. This ain't going to happen for a long time. This thing ain't going to be coming to place for a long time. Really, it's good for Abraham to understand this. Abraham is doing nothing about this land. He's not going to physically inherit none of it in his life. And he knows it. It's a good thing. He ain't going to be trying to do something dumb. He's not going to be trying to do something that's way out there trying to make it happen. And so you understand that about that thing. God has many times, he throws that down in the future, because we found that Abraham, the Bible says, he was he's called a prophet. He's called a prophet, Abraham is. And so, because God's showing him the future here of what's going on. So, I always love this. This is one thing, is reading a story, I always got, why aren't they going to come in and take the land? Why aren't they going to get this sooner? Verse 16 told us. He said, in the fourth generation they shall return, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. In other words, God's not ready to judge the Amorites for over 400 years, because just 400 years they're going to be in Egypt. And the time before, he said, what, the Amorites? Now the Amorites, they dominated a lot of the land. We see them, you know, some of the Amorite guys were joined up with Abram when he went to war. We find that out. But we see here, well, they worshipped other gods and they did things. But you know, it just shows you the mercy and kindness of God. God gives them over 400 years to repent, turn. Sounds like sort of patient and kind. So God is not ready. He's not going to do this thing immediately. Now, we might get thinking, why don't he do it then? You know why he don't do it then? God knows the future better than you know the past or the present. God, you need to understand about it. Foreknowledge is a powerful, powerful thing. God knows the future. Do you know, God makes decisions because he knows. He knows how things, he knows who's going to do what, when, where, and how. And he sets down things according to that. He knows. He has a plan. The Bible says he sent Jesus at the right time. Well, how would you have figured the right time? Because Jesus was sent before the foundation of the world, as the Bible says. Sound like foreknowledge to me. See, this is one thing. Why God is really your reward. He's the know-it-all. He's your daddy. To know God, you know the one, and you know the God that lives in you knows everything. Not everything about today. He knows everything about the future. He knows everything about the past. He knows everything.
Amen.
This is a powerful, powerful thing. See, we treat God like, you know, we do something like he can't see it or he don't know it. Or before the foundation of the world, he knew what you were going to do today. You didn't do nothing this morning when you got up that he didn't know you were going to do. He knows what he'll be able to do for you. He don't decide it for you, but he knows what he'll be able to do for you. He knows. He knows what you will allow, what you won't allow. He knows. You want to talk about a know-it-all dad? He knows our decisions. He doesn't determine them. He gives everybody. He can't help it. He knows everything. That's why he's God. That's why we can determine you and I are not. It's easy to fix. You know, we had all these idiots in the past and even today trying to be, you know, they're God. You know, there's every once in a while you have a guy rise up and say he's Jesus Christ. Well, you know, if he had any sense, he'd know he's not Jesus Christ, but we know he ain't got no sense. So, he's Jesus Christ. But you always get people. You got all, you know, you had you always find in history of people who were dictators and this and that, they'd always, became a god and people worshiped them, you know, and all this stuff. And it really went over well. Lots of them were assassinated. God got assassinated. You know. Men don't do well as God. I just
Amen.
We might have to notify some people in the church world about that. Because there's some out here that you know, they're trying to control it all. I'm just trying to control me. Get your hands full doing that. Well, so we have here. We're going to have go on in verse 17 says this, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that behold there was appeared a smoking oven, a burning torch that passed between the pieces. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. He said, this land is the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Pezerites, the Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Those are the people that are living in that land this time. They call different names and that stuff. One of the terms used in the Amorites because there was a bunch of different Amorite groups were these ones out here, but they were all under this gods and stuff and things that they did. Some were real worse than others and that stuff. But these were the people in the land. God's not removing people right away. He's giving them time. It's amazing. But God's giving them time before he deals with them. Now, what I want to talk to you about this is because of the covenant. Because we see something here that God did. One of the verses, we read back in verse 12 where it said, now when the sun went going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and behold, horror and great dreadness fell upon him. So, you know, this is God. Well, why did that happen? Well, I want to talk to you about that. Go over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Now, we could go into Exodus and read the story there, but Paul gives us a synopsis here of it is what happened. You need to understand this. What took place here? And I want to say this going out. What happened here? God came down and walked between the sacrifice. God did. Because we want to find out from Scripture what it was like when God came down. Same picture. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting verse 18, says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be torched and that burns with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. See, this is what Abraham saw a torch. He saw a fire like an oven. And I want to tell you what, there was a dread, a darkness that came. This darkness that came, this is God. See, God can't, God showed Moses on the mountain his back part. It killed him. You see, God came down. We need to understand what it did. This is God is the one making the covenant. He doesn't have this man making a covenant with God. God steps down himself. We need to understand this. We have three times God comes down to make a covenant in the Bible. The number one is this covenant with Abram. Number two was the old covenant, the law, which God made, that law covenant. He came down on the mountain. He came down to man to make it. And the third time, God came to the earth and made the new covenant. God made it. God came down to earth and made that covenant. Three times God comes down. Two times God comes down, unsaved men, it's a terror. God comes down and makes... See, we're dealing with this here with God becoming a man. One thing is I do want you to understand is the Bible says this in New Testament, talks to Christians, that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. The church has no revelation on that today. We treat God too much like a person. He's not like Ed Gibson. Even born again Ed Gibson, he's not like him. That's one of the things, and you've heard me tell this story many times when I was out at Raymond. The Lord told me he wanted me to go pray, and I spent some time. The Holy Ghost told me a real supernatural time. But I went to get the Holy Spirit told me to go. I could go leave, and I went and got in my car to drive. And I didn't see it with my eyes, but I'm going to tell you, this presence, holiness came into the car, and I knew it was Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, my flesh couldn't stand it. I can understand the terror that they had. The presence of God, your flesh is not regenerated, if you haven't noticed. And I'm going to tell you what. See, God reveals himself. We wonder sometimes, people, what the church does is like, they made the baptism of Jesus and the dove, Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Every time you look at a picture. That was God revealing himself in one way. See, God revealed to me in a different way to reveal holiness to me. What holiness? See, holiness is not a word. It's a person. God is holy. God is holy. And I'll tell you what, His holiness is His power. God. I can't imagine. I can see this, that you could not take this flesh into heaven. You couldn't go to the presence of God in this thing. It'd die instantly. It'd probably disintegrate. You couldn't make it in its presence. The holiness, the power. Yet man can go to heaven with God. Why? Without his body. And until you get the new body, you can't get into heaven without that. You have to have a glorified body. See, my body, when that holiness came in the car, God taught me something. Holiness is such a powerful thing. I can't, my flesh can't stand it in the holiness of God. I was literally scared I was going to die. My flesh was scared. See, your inner man, don't matter what your inner man knows, this outer man, he's going to recoil against things because he knows death's coming. He wants to recoil. And that's what happens. See, we have here, God came down. Before Abraham has visions, he thinks about seeing God and stuff. This one here, God came down and walked between that thing. God came and made the covenant, folks. God did this. God walked down and He's the guy who burned up the offering. He's the guy that came down. He came and he visited himself. Hallelujah. Just like when he visited on the mountain. I can imagine the terror that people had concerning God. It isn't. Now, you take in the Bible, and things that people, the experiences and people had of horrors of wars and 100,000 people getting killed at a time and all kind of stuff like that. The thing with God coming down that mountain, isn't it just a spectacle seeing? I'm going to tell you, there was an atmosphere of things that changed there that I'll tell you what, the human body just has a terrible time with. I just can't imagine Moses saying, God saying to Moses, now come up on the mountain. You talking to this guy? You know, I'm sure. See, God presents Himself, and you need to understand this. That's why we don't want to build, and many people have built religions off of just their experience. Because you can have many different experiences that God reveals Himself in part. But no one of them reveals the whole thing about God. They're all pieces of Him. Over the years, I've had anything from visions and dreams and different things that revealed things to me about God. Different parts of things that I could see. Ah, yeah, about Him. But how do you take a being that knows everything and sees everything and is always existent? I mean, how can you, how can you think about it? The Bible, there is no distance nor time in the spirit realm. See, we say in the spirit, we talk about from the earth dimension, God's out there. But God is everywhere, really, literally, because there is no distance. There's no distance in the spirit realm. See, people, this is one thing you need to understand. As you can develop spiritually and you can get yourself out there, I found this out. I can get over in the realm of the spirit and God shows me something because when I'm over there, I can see other things. Why? Because they're right there. There's lots of things. People say, God showed me. There's some things that I realized that God wasn't specifically showing me that. I could see that from where I was. And what He was showing me, I could see that. So I got revelation on certain things because you get over in the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit, it is different than this realm is. This is why Christians are always praying in time. They're always praying in distance. They're always praying. That's not in the Spirit realm. You're going to get in the Spirit. Throw out your time and distance and everything and pray like you're in the presence of God. Pray like you're hooked. You're not trying to reach to something somewhere. It's there. See, we don't understand this. This is things about people dealing with spirits. Familiar spirits. Demonic spirits are familiar spirits. They're eternal beings. They've been on this earth the whole time humans have been here. And you know what? They know you. Why? They've been here. They know everything about you from birth on up. They know everything about you, like them, don't like. They know those. And those are the things that come along and they're familiar. Somebody comes along and said, yeah, we saw a spirit. It was grandma. It wasn't grandma. It was a spirit who knew what grandma does. And what it did. And it manifests itself in that measure. I know from being involved in sorcery and stuff. You know, you can always get over on the Christians. Most of them are dumb as a stick, comes to this stuff. No, you get over there in that stuff, and those demons can manifest themselves according to people, what they know about people. They'll come and talk to you, you know. Well, nobody knew that but Grandma. Good. And God, what was talking to you? Was it something that helped you spiritually? No, well, it probably wasn't Grandma, and it wasn't God, so we got that removed. Who's left? You know? I miss all the time, Christians, you know, come along. Well, you know, relative died. I feel like they're with me. Get a life. If they're dead and they're Christian, they in heaven. God has angels to work down here. He don't send your cousin Harry. Your cousin Harry probably needs so much teaching to be able to do anything. He'll be there a long time in class before... He'll be doing anything. And anyhow, I don't want to come down and visit my relatives. I'm going to be like Samuel. Why did you leave me from call me from my comfortable place? I was doing good, Saul. See, all the Sauls think this stupid stuff. They're all Sauls. They follow more medium junk than Bible stuff. This is good preaching. Amen. See, we're not seeking after people. We're not, you know, so and so, you know, this so and so, you know, comes down and I feel this person's around. I feel that they're near me and that stuff. That ain't nothing but your feelings and your imagination. And those things will lead you away from God. And God won't be able to help you and bring what He wants to you because you're relying on some other thing. That ain't no different than making saints and I can pray to a saint and they'll do something for me. Ain't no different. And the church is full of that junk. And then they'll knock the Catholics for having saints. And the church is full of that stuff. Their relatives that die are all saints. You know, here on the earth. And we pray to them and we answer. They're here to comfort me. And they ain't here to comfort you. You got the Holy Spirit, your comforter.
Amen.
I never saw, you know, my mom or dad and wasn't my comforter. You ain't noticed that about yourself? They weren't my comforter. The Holy Ghost is my comforter.
Amen.
So the Bible says, they don't say any of that other stuff, but we've made doctrines out of it. We've done these things. We need to throw this stuff out. Because what it does, it limits God in being able to perfect me, to get me to the place where He can use me, because I'm over here in this, I'm following other things. Man, God and the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ are good enough for me. And God kindly gave me a book with His writings in them. And I think, this is wonderful. I'm still working on this stuff. Why am I going on to something else out of my imagination that's not written in the book? What's the purpose? I ain't got this done yet. I sat down and, my God, I told God this. I said, I finally read about Abraham for the first time. I said, I read through this thing of Abraham and taught stuff about Abraham. I said, didn't know nothing. I knew a little bit about Abraham. But I said, when I got over here seeing this, what you're talking about, it's like, my God. This God and this covenant that He made, we're in the most incredible covenant.
Amen.
Just think, we got God started with Abraham to lay the foundation of this covenant that we eventually walked into and experienced the glory of this thing. Man, we ought to be so excited and tap dancing glory of God. God worked for centuries to make a house and a people. That is the most incredible thing that ever happened on the face of the earth. When I came in the kingdom, there was ministers would talk about, you know, God bringing us back to be where Adam was. I'm sorry, we're far beyond Adam. He didn't bring me back to Adam. If I was back to Adam again, I could fall. I'm sorry. He took glory. He put us in a position, a place. He made a covenant that was so far beyond. Hallelujah. And He did it through a man, Abraham. He can do it through you. What can God do through? See, get yourself in your mind, God can build you. This man wasn't born again. He didn't have the Holy Ghost in him. God had to appear to him and all this stuff and talk to him. You walk around every day, God's in you. Every day. You're walking around. You go to bed at night, God's in you.
Amen.
You wake up in the morning, God's in you. See, we're searching for God. My God, I didn't know He's lost. I didn't know. Did He get another apartment and He left me? I don't know. Well, God, get that thinking in you. God's with you. Think like that. You shouldn't feel afraid. That should excite you, the fact.
Amen.
God likes me so much He moved in. That God is in me. The temple of God, hallelujah. He designed this and built this. This is what He's been doing all these centuries of time, building to a place. And we're standing today, and we're on the threshold of the fulfillment of the church age. There is nobody, and never will be, when the church leaves, the church leaves, and nobody else after that time is ever the church. The church is the glory. We're the ones like Christ. Look during the tribulation. They get saved by doing. If they're going to get saved, they're going to have to give their life. Most of them are going to have to give their life. Christians will have to give their life to be saved. That's work saved. Oh, I don't want to go that one. I always tell people, I want to go out on the first bunch.
Amen.
Let's go in the first load. What do you think?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. and what's going on here? This is why today, you don't have no fear. God has been planning your future. When he started laying out this thing with this man here, the devil never saw it coming. He's doing this whole thing. The devil's over here messing around with one guy whose wife can't have kids. And devil thinks, you know, this ain't no big deal. I got all these heathens living out here and all the rest of this. And the whole time, God has the atomic bomb sitting in the middle of all of them. And what the devil? I got all these guys out here. That idiot still don't know who God is. Understand, he is not God, and he can have no more revelation of God than God gives him, than God has given him. And there's one thing I know, God sure didn't give him a bunch of so much revelation. He rebelled. He's an idiot. Hey, we ain't rebelled, so we're smarter than him. This is about, you know more than the devil does, because he was stupid. He rebelled. Hallelujah. So just walk in the light to God. Hallelujah. You're in the greatest covenant there was. We'll go on and teach us. We'll see as God builds this thing. Yeah, to me, it's the most phenomenal thing of God that God did. Hallelujah. God turned around and did these things. It's one of the things that I thank God for. And as we go on, we're going to see in this, as the revelation, as it comes forth, is dealing with the areas, especially I did with God when I asked him about why I lived and I didn't die. And he told me, because your father was righteous before you. And I never realized this till God got me into this study here, that I really got a glimpse of understanding the authority of the righteous seed. See, my dad, he said, I spared you because your father was righteous before me. Well, it was because my dad was right everything. My dad had faith in Christ. He was righteous. I spared you because of that righteousness. And then, now here's the Lord. I never asked, I'm asking about this, and God throws a revelation into me, and I realize that revelation that way back yonder when I first got born again, God's able to show me some stuff in the Word because of that revelation that really I didn't get what God was saying about it other than the fact I got saved. But he said, I spared Noah's family because he was righteous. He said the Word never says Noah's family was righteous. It said Noah was. So I went back and read that. I went back to the Scriptures and it never says his family was righteous. In other words, he saved his family because he was righteous. And see, I tell in some of these things here and things God's been dealing with, but it's about the authority we have, the seed of righteousness. See, we need to understand the fact. Like, my dad, because of my dad, I'm an offspring of the righteous. You know, I hadn't accepted Christ myself, but I was an offspring. And because of that, God could move on me. That doesn't mean everybody that's under the seed of somebody's going to. But God, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot God can do. Because, just like with Israel, there was a lot God could do on the offspring. See, we need to understand. We understand these things. I do believe in these last days it's going to change a lot of how much God's going to be able to accomplish in this earth, in this last move of God. The church is the seed of God in the earth here. I'll tell you, there's a lot of seed Abraham out of here. There's people, I don't know how many billion there might be that are tied into the seed. And the devil got focused on one seed, on Abraham's seed. And he didn't realize God blew up in his face. The Lord showed me that while I was out running. He said, I've been able to reach into the Gentiles and into the heathens. I have been because, he said, I made a covenant and they're out of the seed of Abraham and I have a right to move on them. He did a lot of things. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he could take a Gentile and turn a Gentile into the seed of Abraham. He could. Woo! Hallelujah. This covenant is such a powerful covenant. And in these last days, they're shaking. One of the things the Lord said to me about this, concerning, and I've seen it, there's going to be an enormous, enormous move of God among the Muslims. There's going to be an enormous move of God in these last days. Muslim nations. It'll far outshine many different groups of people. See, as I've said this in starting off, there's three groups that Abraham, they count as Abraham, the Jews. We have the church, and we have the Muslims, all have Abraham as their father. If you take from the church standpoint, Christians, or either people say they're Christian, they say, you know, Abraham, but one of the amount of people in the earth, just in those three religions, the amount of people in the earth, especially the Muslims and the and Christians, how many of them are in the earth? But don't mind that. Don't think that weird. He's God is reaching enormously into the areas with the Hindus and the Buddhists, all those. God's doing powerful, powerful things. Hallelujah. God's shaking up. There's people everywhere, and God set a powerful, powerful covenant in the earth. And I'm going to tell you what, it's greater than anything the devil can do or thinks he can do. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just want to say thank you today for your great kindness and mercy toward humanity in this earth. You're just incredible of what you've done concerning salvation. Your wisdom is beyond measure. Lord God, who would ever have thought or designed or come up with a way that you planned to turn things around in this earth and to save man? Lord, many people say, well, you desired a family. Man, you got a family. You have a multitude and the ones that have gone on before, but here in this earth. But Lord God, there's going to be a huge, huge multitude that's going to come in these last days, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you. You're going to reach ones that man in his mind and thinking, how do you reach them? But you will. Hallelujah. Your wisdom is so great. You have planned this end time move of God from way back in that covenant that you were making with Abraham. And Lord God, in that covenant, Lord God, you were the Gentiles were right in the middle of that planning. Hallelujah. And your outreach. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you that your mercy is going to be so great in these last days. Lord, we don't know everything about what to do or anything. But Lord God, we're just going to stay and seeking you, looking to you. You'll direct us. You'll guide us. Hallelujah. You reveal in the Word, and we're just going to do it. Hallelujah. We're going to walk in the light of it to be a blessing to people in this earth. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we know there's some people they don't want to hear, but nonetheless, we'll still tell them because we love them. Hallelujah. Lord, they might not like our voice saying it, but Lord God, we're going to let them know. Hallelujah. Because Lord, we do love them. Father, I don't want to see anybody going off into hell. Oh, Lord God. Lord, we want people and punishment that people ought to have for crimes committed, but eternity? I can't imagine. I can't imagine that, Lord God. So, Father, I just want to thank you for giving us a message, Lord God, that's a truth. And you said we're supposed to speak the truth in love. I thank you, Lord. We're not going to make up a message for people. We're going to give the true message. Amen. Lord God, and sometimes, Lord, I know in my own life it was hard for me to hear. But it's what I needed to hear. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you for over the years that people gave the message, whether I liked it or not. Amen. The people who said those words that I needed to hear. Hallelujah. And Lord, I realized they loved me. I was uncomfortable, not because of them, it was because of me. And so, Lord God, I just thank you. I realize people will be uncomfortable, but it's because of their nature, not because of ours. Hallelujah. And Lord, we're going to act in love toward them. And you're going to, Lord God, you're going to work in us mightily. Lord, we're going to try to sit around and just think of all kind of stuff to say. Lord, we're just going to follow you, follow your word. And Lord God, you don't have just a canned message. Lord, you know what people need to have said to them. Each one, Lord God, there's things that need to be said. And I thank you, Lord God, you live in us. Through the Holy Spirit, you can well able, Lord God, to reveal to us what we need to do and say concerning an individual. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're going to obey that. We're going to follow what you give us to say. Hallelujah. Lord God, because we want your words spoken to these individuals and just not ours. and what we think, hallelujah. But we want heaven to be able to speak to them that they know God's talking to them.
Amen.
And so we thank you for it. Yes. Lord, I am so thankful that you've given us a place in your field to work. Because it is your field. And you're the father of this kingdom. And you gave the authority of this kingdom over to your son, Jesus Christ, who is in return on this earth, given us authority. But Lord God, I thank you for all those things, but they're gifts given by you to us, not because we've earned them or done any great things. It was your kindness to be able to make us into what we are and then to use us and gift us. And so we want to let you know, Lord God, we don't take in credit to ourselves that we are wonderful or have done anything good. Lord, it's your work in us. And Lord, our desire is to glorify you in the work that you've put us to and this place. That Jesus Christ is glorified. And Lord God, that if anything, people know without a doubt, we love Jesus.
Amen.
We love your son and we love what he did for us. And we hold him in great high respect. We hold up and honor him. We're not going to gainsay him and make him into some kind of cheap God or a cheap something, brother. That he deserves to be worshipped and glorified and magnified. That there's none like him. And no frivolous words would ever come out of our mouth concerning him and his glory. That we speak of him of great honor. We speak of him as the one who is the Savior of all. That we don't question him, we question ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That his words are right. That he's every bit of who he says he is. And he has every right to lord over us. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad to have him lord over me. Lord Jesus, I need a good leader, and you're that good leader. Hallelujah. And I just say thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.